Hello, A3 Nation, and welcome back to Ask an Alum with your host, Tierra M. Davis. As always, I have something extra special in store for you in the form of a career conversation. Now, here's the thing. Just because the career that I'm discussing may not be exactly what you want to do, doesn't mean there isn't a gem or several gems within the story. I selected this one just for you. Recently, the following idea has become very popular. So not the idea of having a seat at the table, which often means an invitation was extended, but creating your own table when your invitation was quote unquote lost in the mail or simply never received. It's the idea that you don't have to wait on someone to make things happen. You go ahead and make things happen for yourself. Often these creative pursuits can lead to lucrative opportunities or simply a space for you to extend your gifts. Now, when I'm working with students and recent graduates, I sometimes hear a lot of the same complaints regarding not finding opportunities aligned with, you know, the skills that those individuals have. And my thought is always, without fail, did you ever think about starting your own club or initiative? You know, if you're a writer, write. If you're a speaker, speak. If you're a creative, create. It's really that simple. You don't have to wait for someone to give you the opportunity to deem you worthy to pursue your interests. My guest today, Alejandro Iber, I'm sorry if I butchered your name, but Alejandro talks about doing just that. He has a really cool professional journey, but I was interested in learning more about how he consistently charts his own path and what those initiatives lead to. Here's my favorite takeaway. If you have an idea that you're sitting on, just do it. He doesn't say it like that. Doesn't matter if it flops, just put it out there and get out of your own way. So often we get bogged down on what people will think and if they will like it and this and that and yada, yada, yada. Never mind all that. Just put it out there and the rest, whatever that may be, will surely follow. Alejandro is currently a video editor at Spotify. He holds an MFA from University of Southern California with a focus in film, cinema, and video studies. He's also a 2004 Centenary grad. This interview, I promise, will make you laugh, even thinking about some of the exchanges. I'm laughing already, but it's also going to inspire you to pursue your interests. Please stay tuned. What was your first professional role after college? And is that the profession that you wanted to, and is that the profession you wanted to work in?
Well, so right after school, I went directly into film school. I applied to a few schools and I ended up choosing to go to USC Film School.
Why USC?
USC is a very respected school for film. And even though I had I did get into a couple of other schools. They were not in Los Angeles as it is for USC, and I knew that I wanted to eventually be here because that's, you know, where the where most of the industry happens. So that was definitely one of the reasons to choose USC.
Okay, so when you were an undergrad in the South, you already knew that you wanted to transition to, is it the East Coast? No, the West Coast.
Yes, the West Coast.
Yeah, I get it mixed up sometimes because the film industry is booming in the West Coast.
Well, at the time in Shreveport, I know that nowadays there's a lot of film industry happening in the South. But not when I went to school there. It was just starting out. If I were going to school right now in the South, I would probably consider options in the area because I know that the industry is definitely thriving over there now. But yeah, at the time, it was pretty clear to me that I wanted to be here.
And so did your undergraduate experience prepare you for your current career, or did you have to almost cultivate your own experience outside of the classroom to prepare you for film school?
Well, I think that, you know, going to college, what it helped me do mostly was find myself, really. Or rather, it put me on the path of self-discovery, which is, you know, I'm still every day learning more and more about myself. And that's what it did. You know, it's, and I feel that's one of the advantages of going to a liberal arts school. It opens up your mind. And in that path of self-discovery, what did happen was that it realigned my career path. Because initially, what I wanted to do was be a journalist, a sports broadcaster. And as I came to Centenary, I transferred from a different school where they had a really strong sports broadcasting program. I came to Centenary with a soccer scholarship, and which was my passion for you know, ever since early in life, that had been my passion. And so I chose to transfer to Centenary with this scholarship, but they didn't really have much of a program for broadcasting at the time. I don't know if they do now, but so I decided to try some new things. And one of the things that I tried was this video production class, and it was wonderful. I made this, you know, short film, this little video for one of the assignments, and that was just magic to me. And that's when I discovered that I wanted to be in film and video production and all that stuff.
So it was the course that helped you decide this is the kind of work that I want to spend my life creating?
It was. Honestly, more on a more importantly, I think going to Centenary, what it did was it shifted my attention from athletics to the arts. My passion had always been athletics. I wanted to be a professional soccer player ever since I was a kid. Every decision of mine had been driven by that mission. Even coming to Centenary was driven by that mission of mine. And in the end, it wasn't for me. I didn't make it. But
you tried.
I did. I honestly, I was, you know, very close. And in the end, I could have played pro in some, you know, teams and all that, but it wouldn't have been that great of a life, I think, for me. I just don't know that I was good enough to be, to have a very successful career with that. But what did happen was, taking all these different classes that I was able to explore at Centenary, introduced me to the arts, you know, and I really, really, enjoyed that. And I discovered that I had a talent for it. You know, all these classes, photography, drawing, video production, all the film classes, they were wonderful. And, so that is what I'm very grateful to Centenary for. It was discovering this new love and this new passion. And ever since, everything has been about the arts, not only film, but the arts in general. You know, I do different things within the arts. And that's, I think, has to do a lot with me having gone to Centenary, where, again, you know, liberal arts education is so varied in the disciplines that you can explore. And you know, that was lovely.
So what work went into making that dream a reality?
I would say a constant effort for self-growth and also an incredible amount of unwavering support that I had from my family. I've been just incredibly, incredibly lucky in my life and have had every kind of support that I ever needed or wanted. So I've been very, very lucky. That's not to say that I haven't worked really, really hard with those opportunities that I've been given. But yeah, it's been a constant effort of self-growth. That's something that I'm really interested in. I'm constantly reading books and trying to learn from tutorials and videos on the internet, and I'm always coming up with something new to try.
So on a technical level, were you doing a lot of internships or non-paid opportunities, volunteer? Like, what, again, I understand the what you're saying about, you know, I had the family investment, I kind of kept going, I had this kind of emotional, not even emotional, but I have people around me that were supporting this dream. But then there's also this, I also have to grind. Can you talk about the hustle that goes into being able mm-hmm. to now edit films for like a big name company like Spotify?
I would say that anybody trying to make a career in filmmaking or the arts really in general, you get to do it by doing it. I'm a very firm believer that you learn on, you know, along the way. So to be specific, because I think you want some specifics, I made a ton of short films, some of them which I made while I was still at Centenary, with some people from the local community, also with the support of Professor Jeff Hendricks, who was somebody who was incredibly important for me in discovering film. He supported me in making a short film that I ended up using for my application to film school. And so what I would say is, do not hold yourself back. Just learn by doing.
And so for you,
I was gonna say that it's not like it used to be before, where filmmaking was incredibly expensive, and very, you know, elitist and difficult to go into because equipment was so expensive, and nowadays you know if you want to be a filmmaker, you have a phone in your pocket and you're already a filmmaker. Just go out and make movies. That's all you got to do.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that perspective. And so when thinking about your MFA program, I'm curious about some of the technical work. I don't want to ask about, you know, how hard is it to get into it, but what did the program itself teach you?
Well, it depends very much on which film school you end up going to, because they're not all the same. Some of them emphasize more the trade aspects of the business, where you learn mostly technical stuff and you know, how to handle cameras and video editing and this and that. And others are more interested in also developing helping you develop your artistic vision. And I think that at USC, I don't know how things have changed since I went to film school, but at the time that I did go to film school, it felt more like it was a trade school, which was okay for me. I was interested in learning all the technical aspects of filmmaking. And, you know, I already felt that I had a pretty strong point of view and you know, my voice is something that I have cultivated along the way with just, you know, introspection and just living, right? But yeah, for somebody who's contemplating film school, I would say to consider very carefully the type of film school that you go to and not just base it on a name, or because, you know, there's a few names out there that are popular for film schools, but you have to go a little deeper and figure out what it is that you want to get out of it.
And how tricky is it landing your first professional opportunity after grad school or after your MFA program? Is it mostly networking and relationships, or how did that work for you?
My first job that I got paid to do anything related to film was out of Craigslist.
Oh, okay. That's different.
Yeah. You just, you know, you're hungry for opportunities and you just go out and get them, you know, and it so happens that that lady that I edited for at the time, we're still friends, and now she's doing really, really well. She's making big films, and yeah, it was a relationship that started out of just a cold email into a random Craigslist posting, and that was it. And ever since, I believe that if you, well, yes, it, to answer that question, I would also have to say that, yeah, the first ones are a little harder, right? But then hopefully if you do your job properly and you're a good person and you're likable and professional, then the idea is that these people call you back and then they recommend you. In this business, I almost want to say that that may have been the only time where I've been hired by a stranger. It's always somebody that's recommending you or somebody that you have worked with. So absolutely, relationships are important. Now you have to be competent and you have to be very good and professional. That's also important, but that's so they can keep calling you back, right? And they can vouch for you. Okay. But you also want to stay top of mind and stay in touch with all these people, even when it's not for work directly. You want to be friends. Those are the real relationships. I think that a lot of people don't really understand that meeting somebody for 2 minutes and handing them a business card is not what it's about. You know, what it's about is making a human connection. And once you make that human connection, you need to keep it alive over time. And, you know, it's so easy to do that nowadays because we have social media everywhere. You can stay connected to a lot of people easily. And that's incredibly important. It's about that human connection.
So can you describe your job, starting with title and then list some of your daily expectations?
Well, so the thing is that I do many different things within film and outside film as well. So it's, I would say that if I had to describe who I am professionally, I would say I'm an artist. Sometimes I'm doing editing. You know, that's my art, or I'll be doing writing, directing. Sometimes I'm creating visual art pieces. Other times I'm actually doing some business type stuff, you know. Again, I think that that's why I think that having gone to Centenary and a liberal arts education was so right for me, because I have many different interests. And, you know, in terms of daily expectations, it's very much dependent on what it is that I'm doing that day. What role am I in that day? But overall, my expectations of a day is I make a list of things that I need to do for whatever it is that I'm working on. And at the end of the day, I check out that list and see how many things I was able to cross out. You know, you can't really hide from yourself. You know, if you did what you had to do that day.
How's your list looking today?
I'm sorry?
How's your list looking today? Are you crossing out a lot of things?
Yeah, I'm happy today. Well, today, right now, it's only noon, and I've been able to cross out a few things. So it's shaping up to be a good day.
So I'm a list girl, so I'm curious. And is your list, like, do you have priorities? Do you have sub-projects, or just like a list of things that you all want to do? How do you create your list?
Well, you know, I handwrite them. I'm not very organized with my list. I handwrite them on random pieces of paper, and I do that every day. I think there's something, satisfying about crossing out things of a list, making a list by hand, and then crossing them out by hand. There's something about it, that tactile, experience. And I have different lists where I keep my overall sort of, all my projects, and then I make a daily list of the things that I want to achieve that day. I pulled some of those items from the longer term lists, and that's how I do it. I make a list every morning of the things that are a priority for the day.
Do you have things that like roll over? So if you get to two things on a Monday, and then you have three more things, do those things roll over to the next list?
I make a whole new list the next day. You know, I have so many different projects going at the same time that there's always something that needs to be done that I need to do. And so I start every day from scratch, unless there's something that's very pressing that I wasn't able to finish. And then that will go directly onto the next day's list. But every day is a new day. And sometimes I don't feel like doing something and I just want to do something else from the bank of things that need to get done. So I just go day by day.
So of all the projects that you've completed, is there one body of work that you're most proud of?
I made a web series that's called FIFA Forever. And I'm very happy with that and how it came out. It was completely independently done, it was also self-financed and everything. I sold my car and, I went all out to make this happen. I'm still in debt for it. But I'm very proud of it. I was able to do it, exactly how I wanted to do it. I had a lot of collaborators. You can see, if anybody wants to watch it, you can go to FIFAforever.com.
It's not on your website.
Spanish. It's not on my website. It has its own website.
Okay, because I don't remember seeing that. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, yes, I have my company's website, which is heiberama.com. That's H-E-I-B-E-R. .com, and there you can see a lot of the commercials and online videos and the content that I've made through my company. But this other one was it has its own space, and I'm very proud of it because it was probably the most ambitious thing that I've done. And I was able to combine my two passions of soccer and filmmaking. The story has to do with this guys who are fanatics of soccer and this video game called FIFA. And they, it's pretty autobiographical in a way, not precisely and specifically, but that culture of playing that video game. And I'm very happy about how it turned out, and I'm very happy also about having decided to do it and following through with it. It was a very long process, and I'm very proud of it.
Why was it important for you to pursue that kind of project outside of your traditional employment?
Because, to be quite honest, that's all I want to do. Traditional employment for me is only a means to an end. I don't necessarily see myself. So I out of all the things that I do in film, the one that makes, pays the bills is editing. That's the one that I do most often. But I don't really want to be an editor for the rest of my life. Quite the contrary. For me, editing is something that I do, you know, like I said, to pay the bills and also to support myself while I'm pursuing all these other projects. And so FIFA Forever was one of those projects. And that's what I live for. All these other projects that I'm working on. I also enjoy editing very much, and it's a great way to make a living, but it's not necessarily what I want to do for the rest of my life. It's just to support myself while developing other things.
Is there a lesson that you've learned that has had a positive impact on your experience as a creative?
Many lessons. I would say, you know, I'm learning all the time. And that's, I think maybe that's a lesson in itself. It is, you know, just be open about every experience so you can get something out of it. I think I'm a firm believer about you have to get out of your head and just do it. You know, whatever it is that you're dreaming about, it's great. Give it some thought, dream it up, but don't keep it in your head for too long. Just put it out into the world. Get out of your own way and get it done. And it may not turn out perfect, but it doesn't matter. It'll be a lesson, and it'll be done. And then now you can move on and do the next thing, and you'll be better the next time. Sometimes people hold themselves back because they want everything to be perfect. And I think it's just better to have a lot of output in whatever it is that you're doing, and then refining that as you go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Sorry. I know I'm not supposed to do video, but usually when I'm looking at someone, I can gauge when they're done talking or not. So I'm kind of listening to how your voice elevates and like de-escalates, I guess.
Wait, so you're not, you can't see me right now? I thought you
No,
I'm looking at you on the screen, and I'm thinking that you're actually looking at me back. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I don't know why you can't see me.
No, that's fine. So I'm looking at your name and then looking at the question. You don't have to turn on your video. It's okay.
Oh,
it's fine. It's fine. We're actually getting towards, oh, hello. How are you? Yay.
I thought you were having this conversation face to face. I'm looking at you.
No, I could not see you. Are you in the studio? This looks like some nice decor.
Oh, it's my home. It's my house. And this is just a little audio, like sound shield for this. I hope you can hear me pretty well. It's just a little mic shield. That's all.
That's pretty cool. Okay. Of course you're going to have top of the line equipment because this is like your jam. I'm just using my laptop.
Well, I mean, I'm also, you know, lately, I've been taking some singing lessons. So there you go. I'm just trying all kinds of things. Well, I'm just learning. And I think that, you know, anything that you can do, you know, when you're a filmmaker, you want to be very well-rounded and know the arts pretty well. And it's good to do a little bit of performing yourself so you can understand what it feels like to be on the other side of things.
Do you do voice acting?
So I'm developing, this is kind of, you know, it's kind of sound like I'm a little bit all over the place, but, and maybe there's some truth to that. I just like to try many different things. I'm now developing, a character, that's a sort of, it's a parody of reggaeton music, which is, it's a type of, you know, Latino music. And I don't know if you're familiar with, say, for example, there's this character from Sacha Baron Cohen who did Borat at the time. He had another character who was, it's called Ali G, who was a hip hop guy. And so I'm trying to do something similar for a reggaeton singer. So I'm going into singing and performing, developing this character, that will be singing some comedy reggaeton songs.
So you're essentially creating all of your own platforms for yourself to discover new talents and explore different projects and experiences.
I think that's accurate. You know, I think that I feel that exploration is very important for me, and it goes back from the times that in college. You know, like I think that the opportunity of being able to dip your toes in so many different disciplines gives you a taste and you know, you can find out what you enjoy and what you're good at, and then just, like I said, just try it out and have fun with it. I don't know how far or where my singing and performing is going to go, but I think it's important to be fearless in your life, and just try and go for it, and you might surprise yourself. And if you don't, if it turns out that you're a terrible singer or terrible performer, then now you know, and you still get a lot of information from those experiences. And so maybe we can do a second interview, a second podcast a few months down the road, or maybe, you know, some years down the road, and we can figure out what happened with this side of me trying to be a performer.
What, so are you an opera singer? Because I feel like you have this very great way of speaking that if you like bust out an opera, I wouldn't be surprised.
But like, well, thank you.
Jam reggaeton is not really, it's not like singy songy, it's more like beats and like quick little lines,
right? It's well, so how it all happened was I started writing poetry.
You're a writer too.
Yes, I'm telling you, I'm a little bit all over the place, which is,
that's why you said I'm an artist. I'm a creative.
Yes. And you know, anybody out there who's having those kinds of thoughts of oh my God, I'm not, you know, I don't know what it is that I want to do, you know, it doesn't matter really. You just try things, and I think what's important is don't ever do anything that's not enjoyable for you. You know, it shouldn't be hard. You know, it shouldn't be, I mean, yes, it's challenging, but you know, you should want to be doing what it is that you're doing, even if it's challenging. And if you're not enjoying it, that means that you haven't really found what it is that you need to be doing. I think that's important. And when you're young, you can succumb to a lot of pressures, parents' pressures, peer pressure. And I didn't have this experience. My parents were always supportive in whatever crazy endeavor I wanted to go or get into. But I know of friends and people who have such pressures from their parents that they end up doing things that they don't love, and only years later they luckily they find a way to transition into what they actually want to do. Now, I don't know, whoever's out there listening, I would say you have to make yourself happy before you can make anybody else happy. If you can't spread love if you're miserable. So what it is you have to be authentic. Always, always, always be yourself and be authentic in whatever it is that you're trying to do, especially in the arts. I think that's what can separate you from everybody else. You are you, and there's nobody like you, and leaning to that, leaning to your weird. The weird is the better. It's, you know, you want to be interesting. And if you think you're not interesting, then make yourself interesting. Go travel, go read books, talk to people. You know, you're not born interesting. You develop along the way, and you can very much intentionally become more interesting. And that comes from self-awareness, cultivating yourself with reading and films and museums and conversations, right? Everything we need to learn in life, I mean, I'm going to say everything, somebody else has done it, you know. Read autobiographies, right? If you're trying to be, I don't know, whatever, like, see, one of the books that got me into filmmaking that I read while at school, still at seminary, is called Rebel Without a Crew. And it's a book by a guy, director named Robert Rodriguez. And in that book, he talks about how he made his first film, you know, which he made practically for no money, and he donated. He was a science, like a medical sort of like trial, subject to make a little bit of money so he can make his film and all that. And reading him was an inspiration, and realizing that, wow, you know, I can do this. This guy did it. He didn't have any connections. He didn't have any, he lived in Texas. He didn't live in Hollywood. But what he had was just an immense passion for filmmaking. And I was like, oh, okay, great. So I learned a lot from that. Live, right? I mean, that's what college, I think, is about, right? It's the beginning of you becoming independent and becoming your own person. And once you find that thing that you're about, you know, who you are, then don't be afraid to wear it on your sleeve, because that's what makes you special.
I like that.
That doesn't mean pleasing your parents. That doesn't mean pleasing your girlfriend. That doesn't mean whatever. That means pleasing yourself, because you're the one who needs to be happy with yourself and nobody else. I mean, it's important. I mean, we don't live in a vacuum. But again, you know, if you don't make yourself happy, that's your responsibility. Then you won't be able to be any good for anybody else.
So, circling back to your voice, how would you describe your sound?
I'm still pretty much exploring as I develop this character. So my way of creating art is, on the one hand, I try to see what it is that I have in front of me, whatever it is that I'm making. And I try to take advantage of what I have instead of trying to build something completely from scratch. So I'm still exploring what it is that I'm capable of as a singer and as a performer. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to adapt the things that come natural to me into this character to make my life a little easier. So my voice, I'm still learning what my voice is, because I don't have the tools. I'm early in this process, so I don't really know quite yet what I'm capable of. And I'm still writing this character. I think that I will try to adapt my voice to fit what I need this character to be in the narrative of the story. This character is supposed to be, I'm making fun of all these things, all this excesses. I don't know, like excessive things, in reggaeton music, there's a lot of narcissism and
misogyny,
materialism, and all these things, and I'm trying to make fun of all that. So I need to see now if this character is going to be an extreme, you know, version of all those things. I need to figure out what kind of voice should I make that fits that. How does he move? You know, what does he dress like to communicate all these things? Right, instead of, you know, if I'm communicating the extreme materialism. You know, maybe he doesn't have one fancy watch. He wears two, you know, because he's just extra, right? There you go. One Rolex in one hand and a Rolex in the other hand or whatever. And so it's like that. You figure out what it is that you're trying to communicate and you build it, you reverse engineer it.
But when you say character, so you don't mean cartoon character, right? Because I'm envisioning a cartoon character.
No. Character as in fictional character. Okay. Meaning, yes.
So it'll be you, like your physical body with the two watches.
Yes. It's going to be me, you know, just playing pretend.
Okay, that's really cool. So when you see this project through, where will we find that? Or is that something that we can find? Like, what does that look like?
It's going to be, initially it's going to be on under my Haberama company. So you'll be able to find it through that. If you check out Haberama.com, or if you can also follow on Instagram, Haberama as well. I'm sure it's going to go there. There's my character already has an Instagram account for the character, and he's called La Bruja, which is the witch in Spanish.
Yes.
And you can look up on Instagram Brujaton instead of reggaeton, because he thinks that he's creating a new genre of music. It's not really reggaeton, it's Brujaton.
But is it a woman? Isn't Bruja like the female version of a witch?
That is correct. But in where I come from in Venezuela, it's non gender specific.
Okay.
I mean, it is really, but when you in slang, it isn't.
Okay.
You can call somebody a witch just sort of as you would say dude or bro or whatever.
Okay. Say, I guess there's no math. Say, is there a masculine version of witch?
Yes, brujo.
Okay, so that's the thing. All right. So I wasn't sure if that was an artist choice that you're specifically saying this to play on the whatever else your character is performing, but that's not a thing.
Not specifically that, but yes, it's a term that you can use, that it is used for males as well in slang. But yes, he has his own IG, which is just, you know, there's not that much there, but you can see one photo of me dressed up, starting to look a little bit like this character with my dog, and also dressed up because he has a, you know, a cool dog. And you can find that on IG as well, Brujaton with an H. So that'd be Bruhaton, as in Nancy, Brujaton.
That's pretty cool.
If you're curious as to what I look, what?
Say that again.
It's not me. I was gonna say, if you're curious as to see what this character looks like, yes, it's me in costume. I want to make sure. I want to make clear that this character is fiction and it's not me, because a lot of the things that he does and says and a lot of his thoughts are pretty outrageous and are meant to be for comedy, not that I necessarily support a lot of his vision and his thoughts, you know.
So you're not,
I'm actually quite opposed to a lot of the things here.
Are you also a comedian?
I'm sorry? No, I mean, no, it's one of the things that I would love to tackle in the near future. It's very difficult. I mean, a lot of these things are very difficult, but heck, you know, I'd like to try. I mean, some people tell me I'm funny. I don't know, but it's not like that. I mean, it's one thing to be funny. It's a different thing to actually do it professionally as a comedian. Comedy is very, very difficult. But I do write some comedy, but not stand-up. Mostly, again, you know, in audiovisual content.
Okay, as a creative, you're a comedy writer, you also create characters, you're also doing the singing, you're an editor, am I missing anything? I think I'm missing some. Okay, so what else are you doing under, as a creative, let's just say that, because I'm thinking there's so many You're so multifaceted. That's the word.
Well, I'm launching a gallery, an art gallery called Pronoia Gallery.
So
Pronoia, if you didn't know, I'm making art, but I'm also launching a gallery that the idea, the concept is that we use storytelling as a medium to promote and sell art. So right now things are a little bit on hold because of the pandemic and all, but the idea is to merge theater and the traditional gallery experience. So imagine taking over a domestic space, like an apartment or a house or whatever, curating a show, an art show there, with a theme and all that. But then, and so you walk into the space, right? And there's all the art, but the space is alive with people in it that live there. And then you, and there's a play going on when you walk in, and the play, the plot of the play is such that every art that's being exhibited in the space is talked about for a little bit. So you're, it's an immersive experience where you go in and you're, and the entire place is alive with the art and people living in it. So it's a, it's a show within a show.
That's so dope. That's so dope. So
is, well, you have to come.
Art too?
The people, so the idea is that eventually everything that's in that space is art and it's for sale, except of course the people, right?
Yeah, so, like...
So, you know, like all the furniture, right? I mean, even at, at some point it would be really incredible. I don't know if this will be possible, but I'm hoping to maybe make some relationships with realtors, right? And then even the house might be on sale that you go, right? So the house, everything that's like the furniture and all the art.
What about the clothes? Clothes are art.
The clothes would be cool too, yeah.
Is that for sale?
Absolutely.
Is that part of the story right now?
I haven't thought of it, but I that could very well be part of it too. That's because... Yes, absolutely. I think clothes can be art, and they are art. And I can see us making alliances with costumes designers and fashion designers, and that would be a part of it too.
So this all came from here, just all by yourself, or do you have a collect? That's really cool. So how did that idea even come about?
That idea came about because I wrote a play, and I did my first play in
I've never done a play too. Before.
Right. Well, yeah, yes. Sorry. It's gonna sound like this. Who the heck is this guy?
Who said another word?
yes, but I'm trying to stay my best behavior. I'm actually pretty proud. I haven't said one single bad word yet.
That's okay. They're all in college. It's fine.
Well, yes, but I'm supposed to, I don't know. Yeah, maybe I should be dropping some F-bombs here and there, but to make it more legit, but I'm going to, I've gone this far without it. I'm
going to be good. Stay.
Yeah. So, oh, okay. So how that idea came to be, it has two places where I can identify where that idea came from. On the one hand, I did a play, which is called Beardo. It's a story in which this guy is trying to get over his ex-girlfriend who used to love his beard. And to move on, he decides he wants to shave. But when he tries to shave his beard, the beard comes to life and fights him off. Right? So that's the story. So I did that for a theater festival here in Los Angeles called the Short and Sweet Film Festival, festival that has film and theater. So I had that experience in theater, and it was incredible. I had some experiences in theater at Centenary, which has an incredible theater program. And I don't know how things have changed ever since I was there, but at the time, it was incredible. And I had a really great time doing that. But I wasn't, you know, at the time, I wasn't really, you know, I did some small things in there. So now, cut to years later, like, I don't know how long it's been. And then I did this play, my first play that I wrote and directed. So I learned that I enjoyed that theater aspect of things, right? And then something else that I was doing that I had to stop because of the pandemic is I've been throwing these monthly parties, that I tried to do this very, they're not your regular party where you go and just do some drinking and this and that and yeah, right, and dance, and there's some of that too, but they're always thematic in some way. So because, you know, you can, if you just want your regular party, just go to a bar, you go to a club, whatever, but I was trying to do something different. And so one of, like, for example, just to give you a couple of examples, one of the parties, I had emptied my apartment and I hired a graffiti artist who's a friend of mine as well to give us all a tutorial on how to do graffiti. And then we graffiti the heck out of my bedroom. So right now I have this mural on my bedroom. And so that was the party. It was, come, you know, let's all hang out. Let's have drinks and whatever. And let's learn how to do graffiti.
This is a random thing you invite to your house?
They're not all randoms. I've been trying to build this community. You know, that's why I was doing it once a month, and I'm hoping to start that again. Over the years, I've met a lot of people, and, you know, remember when I was telling you that it's all about relationships and friendships? This was because of that. Los Angeles can be a very lonely place.
But it's LA.
Yeah, no, yeah, but believe me, it can be a difficult place to socialize and cultivate meaningful relationships. There's a lot of wonderful people here for sure. And the reason I started doing this parties was, you know, I just to be closer to people, you know, and cultivate all these relationships. So they're not random, but I invite a lot of people, right? I try to grow this community. So there's a base of friends of mine, but then if I meet up, if I'm at the supermarket and I strike up a conversation with somebody and they seem cool, I'll invite them. And then they show up sometimes, sometimes they don't, sometimes they show up and it turns out that they fit perfectly into this little community that we were building. There's a lot of creatives in this party. Most of them are creatives of different disciplines.
Is this a ticket?
Which is great. No. It's just, it's
you're fronting open... all of this.
Yes. That's why I'm severely in debt.
Okay.
But it's okay. It pays off in many, many, many different ways. You know, I've made new friends. I get hired for jobs. I I get laid. Sorry. You know what I'm saying? there's a little bit of the real me peeking through.
There's the rawness of LA, finally.
There you go. Yeah. No, it and honestly, it's about not feeling so freaking alone. You know, this town can do that. But to bring it back to the original question as to where that idea came from, one of the events was an art exhibition. So a lot of these people that, you know, all my friends, I'm very lucky to have a very many, many incredibly talented friends. A lot of people who are, you know, the best talents come to LA to try and make it. And so I realized that, wow, you know, I have all these friends who are so talented. Why don't I throw an event that's an exhibition of their work? So I made an art gallery type event in my home, So that was because I wanted to do it in the beginning of that idea was to show art in a domestic space. So it's not in a museum, but really where it's supposed to live, which is at home, right? And so I had, so that's one thing, right? Merged with the fact that I'd done theater and really enjoyed it. And then somehow a little further down the road, those two ideas come together and they become this gallery idea that merges theater and the traditional gallery experience. So that's, you know, when I was telling you before, just go out and do things, you just do it. And then, you know, you enjoy it for what they are. And then that's new information and new skills and that, you know, they end up in your head and then everything mixes in there and new things come. You gotta be doing things nonstop. And that makes you, and again, it's not in a vacuum. I should say that I have partners in all these projects. I always find collaborators. It's incredibly important to me to have strong collaborators, and I have partners in the gallery. I've had partners, you know, for the play, of course, the actors. It's always for me a collaboration. I need it, you know. I need that human contact. I need to work with people, and that's, you know, that's why the parties. You know, I love being surrounded by all these cool people.
No one can see that though. Sorry, for professional. Anyways, I definitely want to, what was that?
I said that was very funny. I wish people could have seen that, but I'm not going to go there.
I definitely want to circle back when like the world changes back to normal. We get to learn more about the projects you're doing with the gallery, the projects that you're doing with Bruja. But you said that you're going to come back for part two to let us know like what's going on with all of that.
I would love to. I've gone to seminary, I think maybe twice in the past to talk to some students and all that. Wink, wink, if you want to bring me back to seminary, I would love to come back.
Definitely.
I have a great time. Every time that I've gone there, it's amazing. And I'm sure things have changed. You know, I think Shreveport has really grown since the last time that I was there. It was already growing, so I would love to come back and then meet you in person.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. I do have a technical question outside of everything that we've talked about in terms of just like making it in LA. So I can see your digs. People can't see you. Like, you got this really nice recording circle thing here. You got real nice cabinets. So like, you got some stainless steel back there. I'm not supposed to be looking, but of course you see it, right? So how difficult is it to make it in LA? You seem to be doing really well.
Thank you. How difficult is it to make it in LA? Well, on the one hand, it depends on what making it is. What does that mean to you?
How paying your rent on time.
Okay. In that respect, I think that it's, I don't think it's, I wouldn't say it's more difficult than anywhere else, because even though the competition is really strong, there's also an abundance of work because everything is here, right? So I want to encourage anybody who wants to come here to just come and do it. I mean, the worst that can happen. I'm sorry?
Is it as expensive as New York or more expensive? I know San Fran is super expensive.
Yeah, San Francisco is super expensive. I think it's a little bit less expensive than New York, but you know, if you're really hungry for it, you come and you make it work. You know, like, yeah, this looks nice right now, but I've been doing this for more than 10 years now. It wasn't always like this. You know, I've had tons of roommates, and I lived in houses that had holes in the ceiling and things like that. And you know, it doesn't matter because you're building the dream, right? So that becomes not as important.
But now you're inviting people over to paint your wall in your house because you got it.
Well, it's, you know what it is? It's important that you find, if you're, it's okay to have huge dreams and, you know, and put a lot of work into that, but you also have to, in my opinion, have, the job that pays the bills, right? I'm doing all these crazy things, right? But I've been lucky enough that I found a job that pays me well, that's also within the industry. Again, it's not exactly what I want to do forever, right? But it's a very good job that helps me make a living, and it finances all these other crazy ideas that I have. And that job happens to be also part of the industry, which is makes me feel good, because it doesn't feel like I'm totally wasting my time. I'm still doing something creative. It's still within the film, right? It's not precisely what I want to do, but I'm still making connections and friends and new, and so it's not like I'm having to be an accountant to finance all these crazy art ideas, right? I was lucky to find, so that would be my advice. Find something, you know, I have friends who are trying to be actors, but they're also sound engineers, right? And so they'll be mixing and doing sound work, and then they run to an audition because, you know, the acting doesn't pay for the bills yet, but they're good at sound, and so they do that. So my advice would be go for it, but don't be reckless necessarily. It's good to be strategic, and it's good to take risks. And in fact, I totally encourage people taking risks. I think that's where the magic is. The magic is on the other side of fear. But you don't have to be an idiot. You don't have to be reckless. And so find something that you enjoy and that can pay you while you get all these other great things going. And hopefully one day, one of them, this is what I'm hoping, that one of all these great crazy things that I'm trying hits it really big, right? And then I can say, oh, well, I don't have to edit anymore. Now I have this source of income to finance even more crazy projects. That's the dream.
That's pretty cool. Thank you for saying that.
Of course. Thank you.
All right. Final round. So can you share a health tip and a wealth tip? We don't have to do parting advice because you just did that.
Okay. A health tip is take care of your mental health as much as you take care of your body. Some people, I think it has been taboo in the past, issues with mental health and all that. And, you know, I think that mental health, it's as important as the, you know, the health of your body, even maybe even more, because I think a lot of your illnesses that happen in the body, they start in the head first. And so take care of your mental health, whatever that means to you. Don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, surround yourself with people that you love and people that love you back. You know, all those kinds of things that help you stay healthy in the head. And then drink lots of water and eat less food, because we always overeat. You know, stop eating before you're full. Those are my health tips. And then for wealth, that's tricky because I've admitted many that. Times. I know, but it's true. I mean, it's, you know, like, I guess what I'm, my advice on that is, you know, spend on experiences.
I was like, that's your wealth tip, spend money?
Yeah. But spend on experiences, not things, because experiences, they have a way to pay you back, you know? So, all these experiences that you may have are helping you grow, and in the long run, they make you just make you a more well-rounded, you know, person. And in the end, that's going to make you a better earner and so on.
I like that.
So yeah, spend on experiences, spend on travel, spend on going out to eat something delicious, you know, spend on going to a museum, to a show, on, you know, throw parties so you can talk to lots of different people. I'm serious. I know it's funny, but you learn from other people so much, right? And yeah, if you throw some parties and just invite people and talk to people, you know, and you learn from them. So yes, I guess my wealth, tip is go out and spend.
And a lot of people are like, save your money, save 20%, invest. And of course, the creative person is like, spend the money on the experiences. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Spend like there's no tomorrow. I'm gonna add. I'm serious. Life is short and you never know, it's just, just spend it and enjoy it and, it'll come back to you. Just keep working hard, but I'm not about that. I'm not about saving. Again, don't be reckless, but it's about being now in the present now. Like why am I going to be saving a bunch of money for retirement? I don't even know if I'm going to be alive then. It's not my style. I want to live.
Not your style to live?
My style is to live for the now.
Okay.
Understand? Like, no, maybe that's why I'm in debt, but whatever, I'm happy, And I think that's more important. I'm also not reckless. I know that I have the skills that pay me decent money, and I know that I can support myself by doing that. So I know it sounds a little bit like bravado, go spend all your money. And it's not completely like that. Don't be reckless, but yeah.
You're saying balance. You're saying, do the things that makes you happy, create those experiences. And then you're saying that we're all saying the same thing, that I think that the conservatives are operating more on the side of, okay, save. Yes, do these things, but they want to focus on saving. So you guys are all saying the same thing, but different perspectives, I guess.
Well, I'm an optimist.
Yeah.
And I operate out of the name of my gallery is called Pronoia. And Pronoia is, I think it's a new word, and it's a real word, and it's the opposite of paranoia. And so that's how I live my life. I live with a deep understanding that the universe is in my favor, not the other way around.
I like that.
So, you put that out there and that's what you get back from the universe, from people.
Is there anything that you wanted to share that I didn't ask that you wanted to share with the audience?
Be kind. That's
is that really what you want to share?
Yes, it is. I swear that's what it is, because especially in the times that we're living right now, there is, I totally believe that there always has been a battle between good and evil. It's as simple as that. And every single choice that we make throughout the day of our lives is either pushing good or pushing evil. And if you make sure that you are always kind, that assures that you're fighting for the good side. So be kind. That's it. You'll never go wrong if you're always kind and empathetic.
All right. Well, thank you for your transparency.
Yeah, that's the only way that I can do it.
That concludes our podcast episode for this week. Thanks for listening, and please, please share with a friend or colleague. Until next time, when you spot an alum, ask them about their journey.